Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so we are here down in Funner, California, Harrah's Resort, SoCal, and Ireland. There is a Top Golf suite here at the resort.
Really?
With some of the
Do you have your clubs in the car? Or are you going to use the standard house-issued clubs?
I'm going to use the house.
Well, I have my clubs. My clubs are in the front.
Slee's got his. That's
I haven't
right.
used them in a year, but they're there if you need
them. Slee, I didn't even know you had clubs. By the way, Momo's here.
Hey, Momo.
Hey, what up?
I shouldn't have clubs. I have no reason to have
them. Yeah, I was just going to ask, Slee, is Funner, California, is it in San Diego County?
So Valley Center, San Diego County.
Okay.
Yeah, not too far, you could say.
A little inland San Diego.
A half hour from Temecula.
How do you spell Funner?
40 minutes.
How do you think?
Is it F-U-N-E-R?
No, F-U-N-N-E-R. Oh. Funner.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's like
it's not Funner.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like a grammatically incorrect city name.
Yeah. I don't know if Funner is a word.
It's been incorporated.
You know, we play a lot of word, not a word around here.
I was like, where's Funner, California? Where is that? I kept listening to you guys on the way in.
It's more fun.
West Covina.
It rolls off the tongue a little better than more fun, California.
So I'm guessing that part. I used to work in San Diego, and I know that area very well. Slee, of course, lived there. I'm guessing it's a little... Well, shall I say warm where you are today?
Yeah, it's a lot.
Slee, tell them when you were driving down yesterday.
90 plus, Slee?
It was at one point 90. I think 98 was the lowest.
90 was the lowest.
Yeah, and then you're like, there's 100. Or where are we going to get from
Well,
here?
Don't
there's
they have a lazy river? Go jump in the lazy river.
Yeah, that's what Trav is going in.
Trav, one word for you, and you know what it is, right?
Hit me.
Cannonball.
Oh.
Mason and I have been trying
like
to get Travis to do a cannonball for about, Trav, at least 6 months. We've been encouraging you to do a cannonball.
Well, so you encouraged me to do it at Key's 50th birthday, and I
Correct.
Was kind of game. I came in my board shorts.
That would have been a huge hit if you would have splashed all the girls in their sundresses, just drenched them, and they'd be complaining about their Jimmy Choo shoes and how you ruined them.
There was that. There was a DJ that was literally directly on the side of the pool.
Oh, how great
and
would that be?
And it was a pretty
like electrical
pretty nice
shorts,
party.
And the DJ called screaming about insurance.
What happened at Keyshawn's birthday? Well, Trav jumped into the pool.
It would have been one of those things that, because there are two ways that these things can go, right? It could be that, oh, yeah, that was great when Trav jumped in the pool.
Right.
Or it could be, yeah, the party was kind of fun until Trav jumped in the pool.
Yep.
Like,
this reminds me of
two lanes.
Do you guys know who Pat Williams is?
Sure.
Okay, so Pat Williams for years was a general manager in the NBA. He started in Philly. He actually started in baseball, started with the White Sox. Then he went to the Sixers. And then for the last 30 years, he's been in Orlando with the Magic. And so when he was with the Sixers, he's the president of the Sixers, and they drafted Charles Barkley. And Pat has, I'm not making this up, Pat has 18 kids. He has like four of his own kids.
Wow.
And then his family believes in international adoption.
Oh.
So they adopted like 14 more. So they draft Barkley, and they take him down to the beach, take him down to the shore.
Yep.
And one of Pat's kids says, hey, Dad, can I go in the ocean? And he says, not now. Charles is using it. which would have been the equivalent, Trav,
That's
of
awesome.
Hey, Dad, can I go in the pool? Not now. Travis just emptied it.
That's about right.
You should go in full scuba gear. Like, just get everything.
I think the Top Golf is going to be fine. I'm going to enjoy some lunch with our fine listeners here in just a minute. I do not know if the lazy river is in my future.
Oh, you got to go. There's few things better than a lazy river, boys.
Oh, I can think of a bunch of things.
No. Trav, you get on an inner tube and then you do nothing, and it transports you around the entire park.
You just get sunburned the whole time.
Get a drink.
A little sunburn, but there's people that are using the lazy
river. Don't get out.
I'm not saying you should drink the water in the lazy river, but hey, if you go, I'm a beach kid. If you go in a public pool, you go in the ocean. You just gotta hope that there's
another version of OPP.
Yeah.
I feel like the ocean is a little bit bigger. I feel a little safer when I go into this. Let me ask you guys this.
Yeah.
We were talking, Slee and I were on opposite sides here. Did you guys watch the corn game last night?
Oh, yeah.
Iowa?
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you see Ghost Harry Caray?
Okay, so this literally is what I had to start our show, but since you brought it up, we'll do it now.
You screwed it up, Trev.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. I'm not going to go Lindsay on you. No, no, don't talk sports. Don't, you can't talk about sports. It's in our show. It's our show. But
it's a pretty good impression.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So the
I wish I had that on video. Do we have the iPads in here?
Yeah, no. Somewhere. Okay. Trav, completely the most uncomfortable thing I've ever seen.
Couldn't agree more.
I watched that and I went, oh, dear God, what have they done? And I thought the Fox presentation for the second year in a row of the Field of Dreams
fantastic
games was spectacular.
Yeah, Vin Scully on the read.
Right. When they went to the hologram, I went, oh, my God, what if they did that with Vin Scully?
That's
who just died last
mind,
week.
Yeah.
That was the first thing that crossed my mind.
Like,
is that they're gonna,
it's
they're
creepy
hologram
bringing
Vin
people back from the dead. In a sports context, I don't. So now, are the Cubs going to do that at Wrigley?
Mm. No, I can't. I think that most
are we
now
think about
side
all
this
the announcers that are attached to certain teams. Okay,
right.
Like obviously
sure.
Vin is our guy. All right, mm-hmm. In San Diego, you had Jerry Coleman Slee, who you grew up with. Angels had Dick Enberg. Cubs had Harry Caray. Tigers had Ernie Harwell. Phillies
Jack
had
Buck.
Harry Callis. Cardinals had Jack Buck. Bob's still going. In Atlanta, Ernie Johnson's dad, Ernie Sr.
Oh.
Mel Allen.
Mel. That's what we're doing now? We're bringing all these dudes back from the dead?
So let's pivot and make it weird.
It wasn't weird enough.
Let's pivot and make it really weird. What if we have a John Ireland hologram?
No, can I?
You don't want it?
Wait a minute. Do I have the ability? I don't think I can control this because I'm a public figure.
You need to
figure.
Write it into your estate, John.
No, no.
You need to
make sure
that I
don't
think
all future holographic rights.
No, the minute we, no one on this in this conversation right now has control of their own
future
story.
Likeness and image.
I'll give you, an example. Winning Time.
Yeah.
Lakers hated that idea. Jeannie didn't want it. She didn't, like, if the official quote from the Lakers was, we don't support this project and we don't like it. And the reason was, it was somebody else telling their story. So since we're all public figures, if somebody broke out a John Ireland hologram, I don't think I could do anything about it.
Ooh.
Do you guys remember this? This
That'd
was
be creepy.
Probably
I know.
Five,
especially
six,
for me.
Maybe yeah. 7 years ago. John, they had a Coachella.
Yeah,
they had
Tupac.
A Tupac hologram, and it was like a full show.
Oh, yeah.
So what you're talking about for just the seventh inning stretch, people are watching. I think Snoop even came on stage and was as if he was rapping with him. So I don't know if it's a lot of people on this that they feel it's awkward. I didn't think it was that awkward.
What did you think, Momo?
Yeah, I thought it was a little awkward. I mean, to me, it's cool enough being at the game. So I always... I had somebody who was actually at the game was texting me photos and stuff of what it was like there. They took their dad, who's like 90, and they're Cubs fans, and they'll never get to do this. It's cool enough to go there, to go to the Field of Dreams game. Right? You don't need to add all this extra stuff.
Yeah. Anytime you're bringing someone back from the dead, and it's not a Star Wars movie, it's a bad idea. All right? I one time went to a Natalie Cole concert.
Yeah.
You know, Natalie's no longer with us. And at the time, she had this album, Unforgettable, where it was a gigantic hit, won a bunch of Grammys. This was in the 90s. And she goes on stage, and she's singing Unforgettable, and a hologram of her dad pops up on the other side, and they start doing a duet. Completely creeped me out.
What?
I'm looking at Nat King Cole. The guy's been dead for 35. No, apparently not. It was her idea.
Okay.
This bringing back people... From like less, I love Harry Caray. Oh my hell! Blah blah blah. It would have been better if they would have had Will Ferrell put
they
on the big glasses and
that,
do it.
So that would have been better.
Yeah.
Correct.
You know who would not think it's weird? Mason.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm with Mace on this one, I think.
I don't know.
I think Mace would be into
the
hologram.
Well, he'd be okay with a hologram of himself
and also his dogs, like all past and future dogs of his.
I don't know how I can't imagine he would sign off on a hologram of Vin.
I think so.
Of
himself, I'm saying.
Yeah. Well,
Trav, do you think Ramona and John will think that Emily's family ordered too much food.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay. Emily, turn your mic on here for a second.
Also, by the way, Emily, the average height of a woman is not 5'9".
5'9".
I'm like, most dudes are happy to be 5'9".
No, I actually know,
well, I'm an average woman.
I'm short. I'm 5'2".
I don't know the what average, the women in your
the average
family
height
are
of
like,
a woman is 5'4".
Yeah, 5'4".
Yeah. Yeah. And the what do you guys think the average height of a man
five
is?
5'9".
5'10".
I guess 5'9". Yeah. 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 That sounds about right.
Well, yeah, but I think that it's actually 5'9", right. And they just round up to
like Trudell? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, when I first started dating my now husband, okay, he told me he was 6 feet tall.
Okay.
And I'm so short, I didn't know. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, 6 feet tall. I mean, everyone's tall to me, right? So later on, as we're like, this relationship seems like it's going to stick, he told me he was 5'11". I said, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And then later,
did you break it off?
No. And I said, oh, yeah, okay. And then he said,
she never talked to him.
He said,
since.
I'm actually 5'10". And then finally, when we got married, I go, are you really 5'10"? And he goes, no, I'm 5'9".
Oh my gosh.
Like, he went from 5'9 to 6 feet.
But
and
it worked.
I had no idea.
He got you to marry him.
Yeah.
It worked.
Okay.
Yeah. You guys are going to be, you know, 90 years old, and you're going to be sitting there and you're fading off into the Sunday season. Look at you and say, it's 5'7".
Yeah, I mean, it might be. For all I know, everyone's tall to me.
It's going to keep dropping.
That was
I'm so nervous
why he
about
liked me because I made him feel so tall.
Yeah, partially because I work in the NBA and people have been lying about their height. Like, you can find programs that say Michael Thompson is 7 feet tall.
Oh, of course.
Michael's 6'9".
Yeah, no.
Has never been taller than 6'9". He's 6'9". And so in the NBA, they've been lying about height forever. I am exactly 6 feet. And a half inch. I'm in between 6 and 6'1".
Do you round up?
Nope. Round down.
Round down.
Because I don't want to be accused of rounding up. Yeah. In shoes, I'm...
Rounding up feels nefarious.
Yeah. In shoes, I'm 6'1". Like there was a whole Seinfeld about this where Mickey, Kramer's buddy, who was a...
it's I guess just the, not done, John. The, it's just not done.
The proper term I think we need to use now is a little person, Mickey.
Yes.
And they go into the class, and somebody in the class, one of the little persons, wore lifts, which is apparently like the cardinal sin. You can't do it. And they beat him up. They were, this guy wore lifts. You can't wear lifts.
I know.
It's cheating. But you are guilty of this, my friend.
Oh, I'm not guilty. I just lean in. I'll fully admit it. I mean, the taller the better. I wear these Stella McCartneys. Yeah, I get like
I don't know
3 inches
how you do
out
it.
Of those.
I don't know. If I ever want to just get away from you, I'll just run.
I know.
Yeah, there's no
seriously,
way.
Those
there's
shoes
no
weigh
way
like 5 pounds.
Me. I know.
So Emily was on vacation.
6 foot, 5'11".
Yeah, all right, let's hear the Emily story.
Yeah, so Emily, how long have you gone? A week?
Yeah.
Okay, so she was gone a week, and it was her extended family on her mother's side, and there were 12 people living in their place in Hilton Head, South Carolina. They were all together.
Okay.
Emily, I'll let you explain the menu from here.
So
you're all 12 people are eating at the same time.
Okay. Exactly, okay. Yes. We got pizza from this place called Giuseppe's. We got 6 pizzas, 2 wedgies, and two wedgies.
Wedgies are like calzones, right?
Yeah, they're like calzones, but like a sandwich. So like it's
got
like you got a little bit
more
vegetables in it. but yeah, we got 6 pizzas essentially for 12 people, and then we also
and wedgies and salad
and wedgies
deep
and
dish
salad.
Or thin crust.
They were like they were not deep dish. They were like New York style. They were New York style pizzas.
That does make a difference.
What size pizzas?
Two slices of a.
They were large pizzas.
Okay, 6 large pizzas for 12 people. That's actually reasonable.
Yeah. That's fine.
Really?
Are you forgetting the wedgies and the salads?
Well, those are probably throw-ins.
Dude, it's called leftovers. It's called I'm getting these at 2 o'clock in the morning when I wake up.
Every person is look. I know my way around a pizza. A half a pizza is a lot for
how about
everybody.
The barbecue?
Like,
Trav, that's 4 slices.
I was more impressed with the barbecue.
I would eat 3.
Yeah.
And there's probably a younger kid. Like, my son would eat 5.
Well, that's what she said. She said Emily had a couple.
My son is 20. He would eat 5.
Yeah.
Travis, your sons would eat 5.
You should always have leftovers because nobody ever wants to go, oh, can I have the last piece of that?
The barbecue might have been more impressive.
Yeah, so that is one meal, Emily.
So then we had barbecue the last night I was there at this place called One Hot Mama's, and we had 8 orders of ribs, and each order of ribs had 3 racks in it. So it was 21 racks of ribs, a bunch of sides. 2 orders of briskets.
Whoa, pretty much covers it.
And pulled pork.
Does that still work for the leftover thing? That
was a lot.
That conversation.
Because now we're talking 2 racks of ribs per person, basically. Almost.
Yeah,
and you haven't talked about the pulled pork and the other things that you make as well.
I forgot to mention wings the first time we talked about this. Too. There was wings there too, in addition to the brisket, pulled pork, and a bunch of sides.
So I just want to say that this the family order in general is extremely strong.
That's the way to go.
You're on vacation. There is nothing bad about anything that I think Travis is trying to embarrass you, Emily. And there's nothing.
No.
There's
nothing I've heard. Entire family.
There's nothing I've heard yet that should be embarrassing to you or anyone in your family.
I come from a world of like old Jewish grandmothers.
In a world.
Okay. Old Jewish grandmothers, and the theme is you can never have too much food. Like, you just order more than you ever could possibly want because someone will take it home, someone will want some more in the morning, and you also don't want anyone to ever feel like they can't have more.
Ribs at the beach.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want that?
No.
Everybody?
How about breakfast tacos with that pulled pork?
By the
tomorrow?
Way, I think that should be the name of an album. Ribs at the beach.
Ramona just said about the breakfast the next morning. You need to tell her about your sister's bagel.
My sister had a bagel for breakfast the next day. I saw her assembling it. It was a bagel, plain bagel.
Is this the sister that I met at the Mandy's?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Claire. Ribs, pulled pork, brisket. And then I think that was about it. And then some. And then
wedgie?
No wedgie's there.
Cream cheese?
But then put some barbecue sauce on it. On a bagel and put it into a bagel sandwich.
And then she went and ate it.
Were there eggs or cream cheese? What's the binder?
Just butter.
Here's my official comment.
Binder.
Claire, trip MVP.
that's basically just a meat lover's bagel.
Yeah.
Right?
Put it on bagel cafes across the country, the meat lover's bagel. Have a great show, guys. Mason and Ireland coming up next. Momo is in. We will see you on Monday.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Death growl, Momo. Let's go. Hey, it is Friday. Happy Friday, as Jorge would say.
F it Friday.
Yeah, F it Friday.
Hashtag blessed.
Mason's not here. I know you're shocked. But we are amply covered with the great Ramona Shelburne today. And let me tell you right out of the gate, Bergman, we're lying today, correct?
F it Friday.
Yes, we are.
Okay, it's my lie. And if you can sniff out the lie, you will have a chance Tuesday night to go to an LAFC game in a suite with Mason, Jorge. Bergman, are you going to this?
I am going to that.
All right.
Travis, Lewa.
I'm going to be in Idaho, but the big celebrity in that suite, the guy who owns the suite, is Jacob Emirani. And Jacob's coming in today to play Game of Games. He's 1-0 as a Game of Games contestant. So we'll try and take him down. Call Jacob.com. He's here for you when you need him. Call Jacob.com or call 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB. If you want to win two sweet passes to hang out with the crew, sniff out my lie of the day. We're going to do that at 3:30. But we have a ton to get to before we get to that. And you heard me say that I was going to lead the show today with how creeped out I was by that Harry Carey hologram. Now, this is what happened. They were at the Field of Dreams game, and I'll just play it and kind of talk over it, Jorge. All of a sudden, a hologram.
All right!
This is actually a video illusion of Harry Carey in a press box. So Harry Carey's dead, has been dead for years. You look up in the press box, and there is a hologram. And he's singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And people are like, what the F is happening? That Harry, what is he? Is he back? Is he a ghost? Is he dead? No. Momo, your thoughts on a ghost Harry Carey leading the crowd at the Field of Dreams in Take Me Out to the Ball Game?
I think that probably sounded like a really good idea. In the conference room, it was proposed.
Yeah, it's play. Come on, play it out to the end. I think baseball fans in every city with a legendary announcer. The reason they picked Harry Carey is because it was the Cubs against the Reds. The Cubs were playing, and when Harry Carey was alive, he would lead the crowd at Wrigley Field in a rendition of "Take Me Out to the Ball Game," and it was really cool. It was really fun. I was there one day when he did it. And they would have famous people come up and occasionally take the microphone. And do, like Bill Murray would come up and do it, and other people have done it. But bringing back a dead guy to do it opens a can of worms. Like, for example.
Well, it would be one thing if you just played it.
Right. But why? Like, if,
but now there's
if
a
the
hologram.
Dodgers did a Vin Scully hologram, I mean, I'm not just saying this because Vin passed away last week. Wouldn't they be crucified for that?
Yeah. Oh.
If the Angels did it with Dick Enberg, if the Tigers did it with Ernie Harwell, I thought it was
Lakers with Chick Hearn.
Oh my God, no.
Mm-mm.
No, the Lakers would never do that.
I think sometimes people have ideas in conference rooms, and it sounds cool, and they don't shop test it around enough. You know what I mean? Like if you
obviously
like I get this on my end as a writer, you get editors who put stuff out, who have, oh, this is a great idea. And it's in a conference room with people who've really never covered the league. They're just sitting in a conference room somewhere. I call them cubicle ideas.
Right.
Cubicle ideas.
They should have died in the cubicle.
Yeah. I mean, or it's also from people who work in cubicles and not out in the field, not out amongst real people.
Yeah, I thought the overall the presentation of the game was great.
So cool.
It totally worked for me when Ken Griffey and his dad walked out of the corn and said,
Cubs
"Let's have
win.
A catch."
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I thought that. By the way, how great is Joey Votto?
Oh yeah,
you talk about a guy who just totally gets it. There are four or five guys right now in Major League.
I thought he was going to get traded to the Dodgers, didn't you?
Well, there are four or five. I wish he would have. We got Joey Gallo.
Yeah.
Instead
maybe
of Joey
they just
Votto.
Mix it up. Yeah.
But there's a guy on every team that genuinely appreciates the fact that he's a major leaguer.
Mm-hmm.
For the Dodgers, it's Kershaw. Like, if you ever have a candid conversation with Kershaw, he's genuinely appreciative. So is Justin Turner, by the way.
Yeah.
That this is their job. That they have been blessed with the ability to play baseball for a living. Max Scherzer is like this. If you ever, like, get in a one-on-one conversation with Max Scherzer,
mm-hmm.
he's a real... Reggie Jackson, when he went into the Hall of Fame, had a great line. He said... He ended his Hall of Fame speech with, "I'm a real baseball fan, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate being in here."
That's cool.
That's Scherzer. That's Kershaw. That's Joey Votto. You hear Joey Votto talking about, and they asked him, he's so candid, and they interviewed him, and Joe Davis said to him, "This is a weird game. You're in the middle of a series. You pick up, and they drop you into Iowa." And he goes, "You're right. It breaks up our routine. And, you know, it's a long season, and this is right in the middle of our season. And all of a sudden, you got to stop what you're doing, and it's a little bit of a circus show. But you know what? It's one of the great highlights of my career. I used to watch this movie with my dad. I used to play with my dad. I love this uniform. I love this opportunity. May never get to do this again, and I've been trying to explain to the young players. They may not either. And I can't believe baseball screwed it up, and they're not going to do it next year because the field's going to be under construction. Hire Ty Pennington in the Extreme Home Makeover team. Get the freaking thing built. But everything was great until the goofy, surreal, weird hologram.
Well, it's enough to play in Iowa. It's enough. Like, it's super cool.
Very well said.
It's just enough. Like, you don't have to overdo it. I mean, it's what did we talk about with Vin Scully? It's enough that Gibson hit the home run. Let it breathe.
Yeah, you know what he did after high drive, deep right field. She's gone, and he shut up.
Yeah,
and he waited several seconds before he said, "In a year that's been so improbable, the impossible has happened." That's why Vin Scully was the greatest.
Yeah,
and we're not putting up a Vin Scully hologram. MLB, don't even think about it. Other than that, I thought the game was great. All right, we got a bunch of stuff coming up next. Do you know? You know? You watch a lot of Dodger games, right?
Do I watch a lot of Dodgers or go to a lot of Dodgers?
No, watch. All right, so have you noticed
every night?
You notice every time they drive in a run or get a big hit?
What is it?
They go like this?
Yeah.
You know why? You know where they got that from?
Nobody can see what you just did.
They tap their hands,
there you go.
Their fists on their head. Thank you for pointing
out
I'm on the radio. But have you ever wondered where that came from?
No.
I'll tell you next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And it's Friday. Mason will be back on Monday. Yeah. What you're doing? Wheel
Friday.
You're doing Wheel of Hosts next week, Greg.
We are doing Wheel of Hosts.
Do you Do you know who it is Monday?
I me. Don't know.
I thought it was me, right?
Oh, you ruined the bit,
Momo.
Bit
it's a
killer.
Wheel.
Listen, I don't get a lot of sleep.
Yeah, who does anymore?
I mean, right? I mean, I have like this baby and this other one that's a toddler.
You, my friend, have a built-in excuse for the rest of 2022. Anytime you make a screw-up like you just had, you just go, I don't sleep.
I don't sleep. I mean,
I try and use that as an excuse now, but no one has any sympathy for me.
Nope, nobody cares.
You.
I really.
They will
have
sympathy
excuse.
For because,
like,
because
I leave
of Jacob.
The refrigerator door open all the time, and they're like, "Oh, that's Ramona again." Middle of the night, leave the fridge. I just do all.
Oh,
like,
you can't do that. Everything goes bad.
All right,
all the time.
But yeah, we're gonna spin a wheel.
Okay.
For every other day that's not Monday.
Right.
And I'm guessing Ramona comes up on Monday.
Maybe.
Okay. So if you're like me and you watch the Dodgers a lot, Bergman, did you know about this until I put it in my email today?
I did know about it. Yeah.
I didn't. So every time somebody gets on base and gets a big hit, they look at the dugout and they pound their fist up against their forehead. Easier for me to do than most people. I have a big target.
You should know it.
We
That's
got
good.
The joke the first time, but it was also funny. The
yeah,
second
there
one.
You go. But they do it. They do it consistently, like, no matter who it is. Like Hanser Alberto, Trace Thompson, Cody Bellinger. I'm like, what are they doing? Where did that come from? Well, it turns out there is a complete explanation. It was derived from a movie scene. All right? The movie is The Wolf of Wall Street. And in that movie, Leonardo DiCaprio plays Jordan Belfort, this guy who is basically just a shark. And he kind of takes the financial industry by storm, and then it blows up on him. And if you've never seen the movie, you should. It's good. Trey Turner loves that movie. He has memorized, Turner has, and quotes regularly from most of those scenes. But the one scene, Belfort is giving a speech to his troops. And I pulled the scene so you guys can hear it. This runs about a minute. And at the end of it, he is pounding. He's got a microphone. He's speaking to a large group of people, about 100, 200 people. And he's trying to motivate them. And at the end of it, he is pounding the microphone up against his head like, let's effing go. Let's go. Here's the scene. And it'll make way more sense now when you watch a Dodger game why they're all pounding their fists against their foreheads.
See those little black boxes? They're called telephones. I'm going to let you on a little secret about these telephones. They're not going to dial themselves, okay? Without you, they're just worthless hunks of plastic. Like a loaded M16 without a trained Marine to pull the trigger. And in the case of the telephone, it's up to each and every one of you, my highly trained Strattonites, my killers who will not take no for an answer, my f***ing warriors. Who will not hang up the phone until their client either buys or f***ing dies!
And he's pounding his head. And so that when you see the Dodgers pounding their hands against their foreheads, that's where that comes from. Now you know.
And that's Trey Turner.
All from Trey Turner. Hanser Alberto was on a podcast and he says that's one of Turner's favorite movies. And he said, now we all do it, and we think it's fun. So I've been wondering, because they've been doing it for a couple of years, really ever since Trey Turner got here. And I've been like wondering, what the heck
they
is
have, like,
that?
They have so many different inside jokes on that team.
Well, they used to have a bubble machine, Greg.
They had a bubble machine. Yeah, they've done a lot of stuff over the years.
The Angels have a cowboy hat. Like, different teams do different things.
Have you ever seen, like, Chris Taylor started it? Have you ever seen where he, like, shakes his hands after a hit? Yeah. Do you know what that means?
What?
No, that means barrels are overrated. That means he didn't hit it on the barrel of the bat, so it like it makes your hands sting a little bit.
Yeah.
So they shake their hands.
By the way,
barrels are overrated.
Dodgers were off yesterday. They're in Kansas City tonight. So they open a series against the Royals, and you know they've been destroying everybody. They basically they haven't lost in August, right?
Nope, undefeated in August.
Well, yeah. They also have the American League Central this year as their teams that they're playing. So they got remember they had the home opener was against the Minnesota Twins?
Yes.
It was like
weird year.
So weird. And they just played
Yeah, they played the Twins again.
Okay. So I saw this story and we were talking about it yesterday. You told the story about how you wore number one in high school and you were offended that when you left high school, they were just going to give it to somebody else.
Yeah, like the next year. And now, it was not even anybody good.
The question is, had they retired your number, okay? They retired number one because Ramona Shelburne was the greatest
of years
hitter.
Of distance, you okay? know?
Either way. And you get got a call from a current high schooler. And the current high schooler said to you, Ramona, my name's Carrie. You don't know me, but I used to go to your games with my family, and you were my favorite player. And now, they're gonna let me play varsity as a freshman. I'm pretty good, and you were one of the girls that inspired me. I've always worn number one because that's the number you wore.
Hey,
would it be okay with you if we took your number out of retirement so I could wear it? What would you say?
Oh, 100%. That's like major kissing of the ring.
But it's yesterday you were the opposite.
Yeah, it's just about respect.
Okay, so this exact situation has come up at USC. All right, if you win the Heisman Trophy at USC, they automatically retire your number. So all the people that have won the Heisman, that number is, I can't.
What happened to Reggie Bush's number?
I don't know if they put that back into service when they stripped the Heisman, but nobody would want OJ's number. Right. That would just be a huge
difference.
But Mike Garrett, I think Mike Garrett allowed Darnell Bing to wear it when Darnell Bing said, I'll come if I can wear it. But anyway, so they've got this, remember this guy, the Biletnikoff winner from Pittsburgh, Jordan Addison?
Yep.
So he's always worn his whole life number three. So Lincoln Riley convinces him to transfer to USC. And he says, okay, coach, I'll do it, but you got to let me wear number three. And Lincoln Riley said, I can't. It's retired. Carson Palmer won the Heisman Trophy. And he said to Jordan Addison, Lincoln Riley says, I'm the new coach here. I can't call Carson Palmer and ask him if you can wear his number. Yep. You have to do it. So Jordan Addison did it, and I'll let Jordan take the story from there.
So I had got his number from Lincoln, and he told me I had to check in with him to wear the number. So he got us on the phone. We had a great conversation, and he gave me his blessing on wearing the number. So I really appreciate him, and I'm going to show him why him giving me the number was the best decision. I watched a little bit of his tape before I called him just to get a little bit to know more about what he did in college, because I seen what he did in the pros. So that conversation went really well, though. He told me that he didn't want to just give his number to anybody. He wanted to make sure that I was the right fit, character-wise. It really means a lot to be wearing the number that a Heisman Trophy winner wore when he played here. So I just feel like it's just going to bring a lot of good luck to me and to the university.
Now, it surprises me a little that you caved. Because, for example, I would cave.
Yeah.
But Mason would never cave.
Oh, see, I think he'd get more attention.
No. Mason would never allow another person to wear his to him, it would be like when he pays under the table to get his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and they call him and say, we got to move your star over to Vine because there's a bigger name that needs that space. Mason will go, no, that's my star. You know, I'm not doing it.
I bought it.
Right. I was a Kickstarter campaign bought that thing for me. But... Greg, would you, if your number was retired and a kid called you and said, Greg, I want to wear your number, what do you say?
Hell no, unless you're giving me some money for
it.
I need some. No, that's my number. If I won a Heisman Trophy and I was that good, you need to prove yourself before you get that.
See, now we're talking about him winning the Heisman Trophy. He's getting more attention for
winning. He's a wide receiver. He's not winning a Heisman Trophy.
No, we're talking about Carson Palmer now. Like, Carson Palmer is not in the news now. Carson Palmer is not somebody that you talk about day to day. Day is an all-time great, or he's a good player, a nice career, et cetera. But like, this is more attention than Carson Palmer's gotten in 5 years.
Yeah, probably. Right. But this is my number. No.
I think it's a weird precedent. For example, when the Lakers signed Shaq, okay, when Shaq was at LSU, he wore 33.
Ah.
Okay?
I know whose number that is.
And then when he went to the Magic, I can't remember if he wore 32 or 33. I'll look.
32. Great.
He did. He wore 32 in Orlando. So then, so he gets to the Lakers.
Yeah.
32 is retired for Magic. 33 is retired for Kareem. He just took 34.
Right.
Had he called Magic or Kareem, do you think Magic or Kareem would have given up their number?
No.
Maybe the Lakers wouldn't even have let him.
I wouldn't have let him.
Yeah, but it's Shaq. I mean, now that number's retired.
Yeah, it's cool. It's 32, 33, 34.
Right. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to make...
So I cave because I'm not an all-time great.
You are in high school. You're not at Stanford. Okay. In high school, yeah. You are.
High school, sure. Okay.
You were the Heisman Trophy winner of the softball
league.
I'm
in the LA City Section Hall of Fame.
Thank you. So
Jewish Hall of Fame?
This whole Jewish Hall of Fame.
Both.
Yeah, both? No, but she's like, I was right. You were in the Jewish Hall of Fame, too,
yeah,
right?
The Jewish Hall of Fame.
Oh, geez. Bergman, aren't you in the Jewish Hall of Fame?
I mean, I probably. No way. No way.
I can get you in.
Oh, yeah, get me in. That would be amazing. Do you know how much I would love that?
Right.
Yeah.
With a Mason like donation under the table.
I don't got that. You want to help me out? Should I start a Kickstarter?
So they put me in the Jewish Hall of Fame. It's up there at the Skirball Center. You go.
Of course, it's the Skirball Center.
And they have a big banquet. And you got to buy a table. It's one of those. And then the next,
I'm a little offended. I was not asked to buy a table. I would have done it.
You want to buy a table at my Jewish Hall of Fame induction ceremony?
You already had it, right?
Yeah. And then the next.
Then
year,
in that case, I can say yes. Yeah. I would have bought a table.
I mean, John, it's like a 3-hour ceremony with.
Well,
like
I'm not coming. Yeah. I'm just buying a table.
Okay.
I'm sending my Jewish friends like Bergman.
You know what?
When
you
Greg, here's my time. Gift to you. A seat at Ramona's Jewish Hall of Fame induction table. I would love to go, but I'm busy. What's the date? I don't know, but I'm busy.
The next year, they got me to MC the ceremony. Like,
yeah,
that
course.
Was part of it. Like, once you're in forever.
All right, so that's that. When you see Jordan Addison wearing number 3 this year, and you thought, that number's retired. Now you know the backstory.
But you know I like it? He had to go look up his... He had to go look up his stats. He had to watch some film. Like, he's talking about him again.
Yeah, Keyshawn wore number 3.
He came at him the right way.
Right.
Yeah, but Keyshawn never, you know, it's weird. Keyshawn never won the Heisman, but he was the number 1 overall pick in the draft.
Right.
Well, wide receivers don't win the Heisman.
By the way, I bet you if we called Key.
I just said he got number 3.
Jorge, text Key and ask him, hey, if Jordan Addison, if your number was retired and Jordan Addison asked if he could wear it, would you give it to him? I'm curious what Key would say. All right, coming up next, we'll spin the wheel of questions. Momo in for Mace, Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA. Ooh, this is kind of hard. Okay, this is a tough decision.
Okay.
Would you be willing to have your left middle finger surgically removed if it meant you'd never get sick again?
Yeah. That's not even
You didn't
hard.
Even hesitate.
Yeah, not even hard. That's done. Done and done.
Bergman?
I like my left middle finger.
I do too.
Yeah. But I never get sick again? I don't get sick very often anyway. But I would do it.
Jorge?
Never sick again? Yeah. Take it out.
I'm the only one who wouldn't.
You wouldn't? Why?
Because I play golf 3 times a week. I couldn't play anymore.
You don't need to use that.
No, I don't get sick that much. And if it's my time. I'm going.
All right, let's make this a little bit tougher for you then.
Okay.
Would you get rid of your left middle finger if it meant that you could sleep as long as you wanted?
No. But I've embraced the fact that I'm one of these people that doesn't sleep.
Yeah. But then you wouldn't be able to say, I don't sleep.
I get more done in the middle of the night than almost anybody. Like, if I wake up at 2 in the morning, I used to be like, oh, my gosh, are you kidding? I'm up. Now I'm like, okay, what can I do?
Wow.
And I'll get a ton done. And so there are a handful of people in the world that have my issue. By the way, you guys know some of them.
Yeah.
Buster Olney wakes up every night at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Kobe was like this.
Tiger Woods, Kobe, Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
Yeah, doesn't sleep. And you know what's funny? The worst thing you can say to someone who doesn't sleep is, well, you know, that's not healthy.
I know.
I know it's not. I bought this book by Arianna Huffington
that she wrote about
sleep. Okay. And this is why I don't read sleep books anymore. Every sleep book, every single one of them, and trust me, I've read them all.
Yeah.
The first 4 chapters, they lecture you on how important it is that you get sleep. I know it's important.
Know.
Why do you think I bought the book? Tell me,
John,
how to do it.
So my issue is adjacent to yours. I sleep, not enough, but I go to sleep way too late. Like, I'm a late person.
Yeah.
And when you're like a night owl, it's like, have you ever seen that bit on Seinfeld? The night guy, night Jerry versus morning Jerry?
Yeah.
Okay. It's, I'm like, people who are morning, morning owls, okay, early morning people.
Right.
Not owls. I'm an owl. Early, they cannot understand how I am. Like, if I go to sleep, I'm like, oh yeah, I go to sleep between 12 and 1 every night. What? That's the middle of the night. How do you do that? Oh my God. That's, I'm like, that's actually early for me. Like, I used to go to sleep between 2 and 3 every night.
Right.
And people would, it's the worst thing you can say to me. Like, I'm from a different planet, or I'm, what's wrong with
you? Yeah, and why
you?
Do other people care? Who,
I think you're
when
weird.
When you go to sleep.
Yeah. I think you're weird. Oh my God, you get up at 6?
Right.
What? What's wrong with you? Like, I would never get up at 6 by choice.
It was funny. Lisa drove, yes, my wife drove yesterday from Manhattan Beach to Park City. Takes 12 hours. So I woke up the night before at 1:30. I went to bed at 10. I woke up at 1:30. And she was up. She couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
And she's reading. And I said to her, leave now. You'll have zero traffic, and you'll be in Park City by 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm not you. I'll fall asleep at the wheel. I'm going back to sleep. And she did, and she left at 6.
Yeah.
But if you have my mentality, if you have, okay, what can I get done in the next 5 hours? You can get a ton done.
Yeah. As soon as you stop judging yourself for however God made you.
It took me a lot of years.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I mean, and I actually like fire back. I get like upset with people. Like when they criticize me for going to sleep so late or not getting up early.
Why do they care?
Yeah. Who cares? Yeah. This is how I live.
Okay.
Stop it.
So
I want to know something. Why does it matter if you lose your middle finger for golf? You can still grip the club.
No,
trying to like put
you'd
it together.
You'd be surprised. Like take your middle finger out of it, like tape it down, well, and you couldn't grip. You need all your fingers to hold the club.
Yeah, so I mean, you can
two
just
things.
Bring this one. The
one involves Kobe, and one involves my 15-year-old fat cat.
Okay,
which one do you want?
Fat cat.
Fat cat. About 5 years ago, the fat cat. We noticed
still
she was
alive.
Still
the
alive.
Fat cat.
She's doing great. I don't know how well she sees or hears, but she's doing great other than that.
Yeah.
her name is Beans. We
Hi,
noticed
Beans.
That she was, that her back foot like had dropped.
Yeah.
Okay? You know how their back feet, the cat, okay? It had dropped. And we go, oh my God, she's like limping around. And then we took her to the doctor and they go, she tore her Achilles. I go, did no cats have Achilles?
Neither did I.
Yeah. Horrible. And I go, well, do she have to have surgery? I'm like, what do they do? And they go, well, she'll just learn to walk without one. And I'm like,
was surgery an option?
Surgery was an option, but they said for a cat her age, she could like die in the surgery and it would probably not
risky.
Work anyway.
Right.
And she'd be wearing a cone and she'd be really miserable. And now she just walks around with limp. It's okay. She's fine. She's not in any pain. She just walks around with a dropped foot. They just adapt.
Wow. What's the Kobe story?
Oh, when he did that with it. Remember when he hurt his right shoulder? He said, that's okay. I'll just shoot with my left.
And he did. Shot free throws left-handed.
Yeah, he just did it. You would adapt. If you didn't have your left middle finger, you would figure out how to play golf without it. You just would. And then you wouldn't get sick.
So, you know, talking about sleep, Kobe, when his daughters were young, when Natalia and Gianna were young, he would bring them to Laker games.
Yeah.
And I would say, and I'd see him bouncing around in the hallway at 10:30 at night. And I said, Is that weird that they're up this late? He goes, no, we've trained them.
Yep.
They sleep in late in the morning, and we have afternoon school for them, and they still get a full night's sleep, but I want them to be a part of this. So you can adjust your sleep to, you know, whatever you need.
Yeah. I mean, he never slept, okay?
Right.
Because I used to, when he and I would talk or text or email or whatever it was always the middle of the night. It was always, they were flying on a plane from one game to the next. You'd get an email at like 2 in the morning Eastern or wherever it was, you know, 3 in the morning.
Right.
And then I would still be up because I was up at night. But then in the morning, so I would reply. But then in the morning, I wouldn't be up. And I would have missed an email by like 3 hours from him. And I almost felt bad.
Okay,
you beat me.
I'm friends with all of our security guys who travel with us. And they all used to sleep with their ringers on.
Yep.
Right next to the phone because they never, like Kobe would call them at like 3 in the morning and say, hey, let's go get a workout in.
Let's open up a gym.
Yeah. And they would do it.
Yep.
And so these guys are prepared at all times at, you know, at a drop of a hat to I mean,
was him.
The world, the life they have chosen.
Yeah.
You know, so it works out. All right. Hey, so I wanted to sneak this in there. You guys all saw the video earlier in the week of Rodolfo Castro of the Pirates.
Yeah.
He slides into third. and his cell phone comes flying out of his pocket. And the umpire laughs and points. He was safe at third. And the umpire points at his phone, and he's like, oh, my gosh, I have my phone. And he hands it to the third base coach. Third base coach just won it.
Yeah.
Like, what? What are you doing? Why is your phone out here? What are you doing? And the third base coach reluctantly takes it and sticks it in his pocket. Now, technically, this is a violation of MLB rules. You're not allowed to have anything electronic except for MLB-approved iPads in the dugout. And this was back to what the Astros were doing, going back to the cheating scandal, that you could, theoretically, if you have your phone in your pocket, have somebody texting, have your phone on vibrate, have somebody texting you what the pitches are. Castro swears he's just a young kid that forgot, that was checking his texts and forgot and stuck his phone in his pocket. Now, MLB hasn't done anything yet. Should they fine, suspend, or punish Castro in any way, Bergman, for sliding into third with his cell phone?
Do you know what inning it was?
I don't. But he plays for the Pirates, and so he's not going to the playoffs anyway.
Right. They absolutely should fine or suspend him, because that is what you're saying is absolutely right. There's no reason, let's say it was like the fourth or fifth inning. That means it's been in his pocket that entire time.
All right, can I make a counter argument?
You can do whatever you want.
He's a rookie.
Yeah.
He's a kid.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. Kids that age, I know my son's 20.
Yeah.
If I ever want to get his attention, and you'll learn this with Riley. Riley?
I already know it now. It's 10. She's got a phone and an
take
iPad.
The phone away.
Okay. If you threaten to take her phone away,
she screams and cries.
Yeah, and it's like you're trying to take her arm off.
It is.
And she, by the way, she will, Momo, this is a good tip for you, because you're going to have two young boys.
Yes.
You have two young boys now, but in 5 years, they're all going to want phones.
I know.
Maite doesn't have a phone yet, Jorge, does she?
Nope, no iPad.
Okay, so, she's only like three now, right?
Four. Yeah, in a week.
Happy birthday, Maite.
Wow.
Okay, so it's a great parenting tool.
Hey, guys, phone for Jorge.
Thank you, Maite. It worked, by the way. Jorge won. That whole ad campaign worked.
Yep.
You want to get your kids to, like, snap into shape? Tell them you're taking their phone. If I tell my son I'm taking his phone for 2 hours, he will do immediately whatever I want.
Yeah.
And or I'll just look at him. I'll go, you do that again, I'm taking your phone. And he'll go, okay, Dad. Like, he knows that to kids Castro's age, Greg, he was probably checking Twitter.
I don't care how old he is. You are a Major League Baseball player.
Mama, would you fine him?
Yeah, I would.
Really?
I know.
He doesn't make any money yet.
Doesn't matter.
Jorge, would you fine him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You have to.
You guys are tough.
I'm going to say it. Like, it's not going to be a lot, $5,000-$10,000 or something, but it's
that's a lot to him. He might be out of the majors next year.
You can't have something that can vibrate in your pants pocket.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a family show. Hey, put that on a loop. Hey, Amanda, this is who you hire.
I'm changing subjects.
All right. You hire someone who comes on the air and says, you can't have something that vibrates in your pants pocket.
Hey, it's not my fault you think of it that way.
trust me, everyone thought of it that way.
Amanda did immediately.
Yeah, you guys are brutal. It's a kid. He doesn't make any money.
Look, when Jose Altuve did it, he had it strapped to his chest.
Oh,
was
he
that
had
a
freaking wire.
What's
and
the
we
difference?
Know he was cheating. He wasn't checking Twitter.
No, you really think that's what he was doing? No, he was getting something sent to his phone, most likely.
We know he was cheating.
Oh, yeah,
we don't know Castro. Castro threw himself on the mercy of the court. He goes, I'm an idiot. I just put my phone in my pocket.
Yeah,
you know these guys in between innings are going back to the clubhouse and checking to see what girls are texting them.
Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You can't put it in your pocket.
He's guilty of being a 20-year-old.
This is like the equivalent of when you get busted for steroids by eating tainted meat. Right, or you get busted for performance-enhancing drugs by taking some cold medicine. Like, I know that wasn't your intent, but it was. You have to be more vigilant about what goes in your body. Just it.
Okay.
Too bad.
Yeah, you guys are tough.
I know.
Well,
we just had two huge high-profile cheating scandals.
Okay.
Involving electronic devices.
Vibrating
devices.
I may change my answer for Wheel of Questions. Oh. I've just received a text from the great Judy Cito, who was our director of medicine for the Lakers.
Yeah.
And she's moving on after last year, but she got us through COVID. She was Kobe's personal physician, trainer for a long time.
Oh, yeah. She's the reason he played 20 years.
Yeah. She's the greatest. She said, she's listening, and she said, hi, John. I had a client who shattered his elbow in a motorcycle accident. His arm was repaired but permanently stuck at a 90-degree angle, return to golf with one arm, you would adapt without a finger.
Yeah, you would.
And, you know, thank you, Judy, for texting in because, you know, I just remembered Jim Abbott, the great pitcher, is like a three handicap golfer.
Wow.
And he doesn't have a right hand. He just golfs one-armed left-handed.
Wow.
Didn't he have to throw a no-hitter, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can get away with it.
Yeah, I would learn. I still want my middle finger, though.
Just to throw it at me.
Right. Amanda, I need it to converse with you when you and I disagree.
Double birds.
All right, coming up next, I think Deshaun Watson's going to be on the field at about 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't played in 500 days. We'll update you on the Deshaun Watson thing. And if you read the LA Times, they wrote an article today that makes no sense, and we'll get into that. Mason in Ireland, Momo in for Mace, ESPN LA.
Without your middle finger, you can still hit a birdie.
Okay, so tonight, the Cleveland Browns have their preseason opener. Mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson, who is in the middle of an investigation by the NFL and hasn't played in over 500 days, is scheduled to take the field tonight, this afternoon at 4 o'clock, because the NFL hasn't ruled yet on the appeal. Now, they had an arbiter, an independent arbiter, a woman who was a former federal judge, say that he gets 6 games for all the problems he had with the massage therapist. Roger Goodell didn't like that and says the NFL, which is their right, is appealing for a longer suspension. The NFL has asked for 1 full year. But because the